We will begin our public hearings. I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. As the agenda indicates, this is the time for the public hearings before County Council on the change in zone and rezoning application. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the matter requested by the applicant. I will announce each application, then the director will review with Council the minutes and any testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the Commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting the application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented its application, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who are present and oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless Council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or its witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Don't repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me, and I'll make it a part of the record. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that the prior speaker has already stated. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to switch it off or turn it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, Council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, Council will do likewise. And Mr. President, and Council, the first item on the agenda this afternoon is conditional use number 1829 filed on behalf of ML Joseph Sand and Gravel, Inc. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to expand excavation of a borrow pit to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 40.85 acres more or less. And it's on land lying north of Road 322, Bunning Road, approximately 2,400 feet west of Governor Stokely Road, which is Road 432. And at this time, Mr. Lank, if you have any reports.
Thank you. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on May 13th of 2010. During that public hearing, the Commission acknowledged receipt of an exhibit booklet similar to the one I have in my possession, which is a part of the record and has been a part of the record since April 30th of 2010. I have provided all the council members with a copy as well as Mr. Robertson. We received four letters in support of the application. Excuse me. We received comments from the County Engineering Department, the Sussex Conservation District. Ken Adams, president of Stokely Sand and Gravel, was present on behalf of the applicants with Mark Dunkel, attorney, Jim Willey, professional engineer, and Steve Smaler, professional geologist, and they gave testimony into the record. One person spoke in support. Another person spoke not in opposition, but with questions. Mr. Adams answered and responded to those questions raised. On May 13th, the Commission deferred action for further consideration. On May 27th of 2010, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Rawl stated that he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1829 for ML Joseph Sand and Gravel Incorporated for the expansion of an existing bar pit based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application is for a 40.85 acre expansion of an existing bar pit. Two, a need exists in the area for dirt, sand, and gravel, and existing bar pit sources are becoming depleted. The material removed from this site will be used throughout the county for a variety of residential and commercial uses and road construction. Three, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on traffic or the neighboring properties or community. Four, the use of the project is of a public or semi-public character that will provide a source of fill dirt available to the entire county. This use is essential and desirable for the general convenience, safety, and welfare of the current and future residents of the county. 5, vegetated buffers will be established along the boundaries of this land and land of other ownership and Bunting Road. The majority of the boundary is surrounded by lands owned by the applicant or its related companies. 6, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. 1, no materials shall be brought from off the site for processing, mixing, or similar purpose. 2, water or a water truck shall be available to control dust from road traffic when conditions require. 3, any roadway or entrance improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant. All entrances shall be secured when the bar pit is not in operation. 4, the hours of operation shall be as follows. A, material may be hauled off-site only between the hours of 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Saturdays. B, continuous on-site operations of the plant dredge and pit is permitted Monday through Saturday. C, there shall be no bar pit operations after 8 p.m. on Saturday until 6 a.m. on Monday. 5, no materials shall be stored on any access roads or within any buffer areas. 6, fuel shall be stored on site in confined storage tanks as required by DENREC, the fire marshal, and any other applicable regulations. 7, no stumps, branches, debris, or similar items shall be buried or placed in the site of the bar pit. 8, the bar pit shall have 3-to-1 slopes, and the slopes shall be seeded and planted to control erosion. 9, a final site plan including all pit slopes, excavating, phasing, and reclamation plans shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission prior to the commencement of operations. Reclamation plans shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planting schedules designed to create a pleasing appearance. 10, the applicant shall comply with all state and county erosion and sediment control regulations. 11, markers and signs shall be placed at appropriate locations to designate pit areas. 12, every 5 years after the start of excavation, the Office of Planning and Zoning may inspect the site and request written comments from all appropriate state agencies so that the Planning and Zoning Commission can review the comments and verify compliance with all regulations. 13, the applicant shall comply with all the requirements set forth in Section 115-172B of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. 14, it is recommended that County Council require performance guarantees to assure completion of any approved reclamation plan pursuant to Section 115-172B6E. 15, markers and signs shall be placed at appropriate locations to designate pit areas as required by the Mine Safety and Health Administration. 16, the bar pit shall be surrounded by a buffer strip, a minimum distance of 100 feet from any street lines, 200 feet from any dwelling of other ownership, and 50 feet from all other property lines of other ownership. The buffer area shall include a 30-foot-wide vegetated buffer of native species vegetation. Bar pit operations shall be consistent with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Mine Safety and Health Administration directives and regulations supersede these plans and specifications. 18, per Mine Safety and Health Administration requirements, the bar pit shall be surrounded by a berm with a minimum height equal to 1/2 the height of the tallest tower used in the mining operation. Current minimum height is 3 feet. 19, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan for all buffer areas, the berms, and the slope. Buffers shall include native plantings, and crops are not considered a part of the vegetated buffer. As stated by the applicant, the buffer is designed to provide a visual, dust, and other nuisance barrier. And 20, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated, and that motion carried 5-0. To date, I received no additional comments from any agency or individual on this application. That's all I have, unless you have questions. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Dunkel, and while he's walking up, is there anyone else besides the applicant and its witnesses that have any interest in this application? Mr. Dunkel, it appears like it's just you.
Before we start, could I ask Lawrence just to clarify the on 13, number 13 there of the conditions. What remind us what 115 and 172B is of our county ordinance?
115, 172B is the requirements in the ordinance that relate to bar pits specifically. It's a list of things you have to do, buffers, et cetera.
Okay.
For the record, Mark Dunkel, I'm an attorney with Parkowski, Gurk, and Swayze, 116 West Water Street, Dover, with an outpost office here in Georgetown. President Phillips and members of council, here on behalf of the applicant for this conditional use application, Mr. Ken Adams with Stokely Materials, also Melvin Joseph Company, is seated behind me. Also here is Jim Willey, engineer with GMB, and also Mr. Steve Smaler, who's a geologist with Duffield Associates. You've got the booklet that was presented to Planning and Zoning. I did just want to help orient you, members of council, to the property location. On the board that's up before you, which is tab 3 in your book, it's probably easier to see, the darker brown rectangular-shaped property, that's the proposed borrow pit. The tan or the lighter brown property is other property that's either owned by the applicant or related or affiliated company of the applicant. So in a sense, it's all in the same family. The green properties are everyone who's indicated they support the application. So they've all indicated support. I think our total is 44 individuals who are in support of the application. Mr. Adams will be happy to tell you about why and the economic benefit, the number of folks that he would like to continue to employ here. But I would like to ask Jim Willey of GMB to overview the conditional use site plan application for you, answer any of your questions. If you have any questions for related to the geology or the environmental questions, Steve Smaler is certainly here for that, because lawyers aren't qualified to talk about either one of those, so I won't even try.
Where before you leave, where is the existing? What up there color depicts the existing white?
This line is Route 113.
Right.
This is the existing airstrip in this area.
Right.
And then this is existing borrow pit.
You don't have it drawn out. What is how big is the existing pit?
Roger.
Good picture. Aerial.
Okay, I got the air. He's got an aerial here. Was this approved here? When was this all approved?
The bar pit there is actually pre-existing non-conforming. It's okay. Continued over the years, and there's been a couple. The sand plant's considered as a mechanical device. The asphalt plant, concrete plant, have both been through the Board of Adjustment on several occasions.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen a file in my office. It's
This is a
fresh
grandfathered in pit.
This is a fresh application on this tax parcel, since it's a new parcel. If that's all, I'll turn it over to Mr. Willey.
Good afternoon. Jim Willey, George Miles and Buehr, Delaware PE 13710. In the first tab in your exhibit book, there's a small version of the lower exhibit down there. It's the site plan exhibit. Just to run through this quickly, on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see the paved, the dark gray, that's Bunting Road. The existing paved driveway into the sand plant and the asphalt plant to the bottom of the page. To the bottom of that driveway, or the Joseph Road, is existing borrow pit. To the left of the proposed borrow pit is labeled as existing borrow pit. The property immediately to the top of the page is a continuation of the parcel 50 that contains existing borrow pit, and also lands of Charles and Kim Robinson, who have provided letters of support. Mr. Cole, you mentioned the conditions in 172B. They include the 100-foot buffer along Bunting Road, which you can see on this exhibit. We've taken the 100 feet from the proposed 30-foot right-of-way dedication as required by DLDOT. We do have the DLDOT letter of no objection, which is in this book. Adjoining property owners of other ownership require a 50-foot buffer, which you'll notice along the property line between the lands of Robinson and the parcel in question. And then we also have actually a 60-foot shown along the Joseph Road area, even though we're bordering related lands. The only residence that is affected by the 200-foot requirement, down in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see tax map parcel 5308, owned by Delmer and Michelle Cathell, and see that we've drawn a 208-foot radius off of that property line to ensure that none of the excavation is within 200 feet of that residence. The dark green with the hatching is the 30-foot-wide native vegetation buffer, and that is in the current reclamation plan that we have before a conservation district, that is loblolly pine. In the lighter green area, immediately inside of the dark green hatch, that will be a regular seed mix, and that is also the area that will contain the 3-foot berm that you heard Mr. Lang speak about in the condition about the Mine Safety Act, minimum 3-foot high berm. The soil stockpile that you see in the lower right-hand corner is just a temporary stockpile. That's where we'll store the topsoil that we then use to create that mining safety berm. And then the dark green that you see adjacent to the blue is the Ernst native grass steep slope mix, which will be used to stabilize the slopes going down into the pit. And then the area in blue is the actual borrow pit itself, shown to tie into the existing borrow pit to the left-hand side of the page. So,
Jim, if you could just explain the photo in tab 2 about the entrance and the fact that, you know, that the entrance is going to remain.
Yes. The under tab 2, the existing entrance has been approved by DLDOT. Some recent, as I mentioned earlier, we had the letter of no objection, but I believe even subsequent to the letter of no objection, Mr. Adams made improvements to this entrance. And this road, this picture is from Bunting Road looking into the site. And you can see the sand plant in the background, and the borrow pit will actually be in the area to the right behind the ML Joseph sand and gravel sign. And unless you have questions, that pretty much...
So this will open right in, the back end will just open up into the existing pit?
Yes.
Right, is that...
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and the existing pit, it doesn't have any slopes, or is it doing this... Is it fairly current in compliance with Department of Natural Resources requirements nowadays on borrow pits, or is it exempted from it all?
Well, it's definitely in compliance with the Mine Safety Administration because
the who? Out,
the mine safety, the mine safety
federal regulation.
No, state.
Right. Well, okay. I was just going to mention that there isn't. Ken, do you want to answer this? Yeah. I mean, the topsoil berm is out there for safety surrounding the existing borrow pit. Mr. Adams.
Well, I know we've had a problem in Sussex County with the old pits, and there was never any rules and stuff. Are you sloping anything in the old pits? Or are you just digging as deep as you can straight down?
For the record, I'm Ken Adams, president of Stokely Sand and Gravel.
Yeah.
What we've actually done in the pre-existing sections of the pit, those slopes have been seeded and stabilized already. And we do have a seeded berm around all areas that have been basically exhausted and are no longer working.
Okay.
And we periodically keep up behind where we're excavating.
And what is the reclamation plan? You say what do you foresee this to be reclaimed as? Just a big pond?
Basically, yes.
Okay, another, okay. Just
but as far as reclamation, the slopes, you know, tie the slopes in and stabilize them.
Okay. The other thing, Lawrence, in the past with a lot of these recent ones, we've put in a time limit.
Yeah, well, there's a maximum time limit for the use. There's a time limit on inspections every 5 years.
Every 5 years, but yeah. But there was an exit. See, it's a conditional use is a permit, and a permit has a start and finish to it. It should. Is there any finish, or is it just an open-ended permit?
No, there's no finish on this unless you impose by council.
But in the past, we have...
On occasion, we have put a time limit.
Right, on for current, consideration. Last few. Okay.
Mr. Cole, I think from a previous application, we had been here, I guess, about last year, and I think it was 40 years.
Right, we have imposed, right? I know that we've been trying to do that because a permit should not just be forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a permit for a reason. Okay, thank you. Before you sit down, you don't have any objections to 40-year frame of mind on that?
No, I don't.
You'll still be around, right?
Working. I hope so.
Yeah.
Mr. Dunkel, does that conclude your presentation?
Yeah, other than we agree with all of the conditions that were recommended by planning and zoning. And appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Does council have any questions for the applicant, in addition to those already asked? Is there anyone?
I have a question maybe for Lawrence. On the conditions, number 14, what are the performance guarantees?
Well, that would be basically that if council so desired, a bond would be posted to guarantee that reclamation would be take place.
That's something that they have historically done, required that council?
It's been recommended by the commission. The council hasn't, to my knowledge, held any bond on any of the bar pits.
I think it's a good idea.
One of those things, too, the ordinance doesn't require it. It just talks about that the council can consider doing that.
And the bond would be to protect who? And what? Give us a reason why we should have a bond, or give us a reason why a bond isn't necessary.
Well, the bond is to ensure that the compliance with the conditions occurs and the reclamation plan happens after they've exhausted the pit. So that's why you do the bond. Whether or not you choose to do it, that's, you know, the council's discretion. I would say that there's the additional safety net of the 5-year review by planning and zoning to see that, you know, that they're complying with the requirements of the ordinance if you choose to adopt it. So,
but the total size of this pit, if years down the road another generation of owners decided to walk away because of financial problems or something, we'd have no recourse to without a bond.
That's true. Aside from shutting the pit down, you know, if there was problems.
Well, that's not helpful either if it's, you know, whatever. Okay. It's been recommended that we have a bond. Is there anybody could have some conversation what the bond should look like if we ended up having a bond? Well, I think you have any insight?
Typically, the bond that we required have been 125% of the cost of streets would be to make sure that the cost of the street construction would be covered. So we go 125% because of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
On a bar pit, you're really talking about only the reclamation. If they only did a portion of the pit and quit, then the reclamation would be lesser amount to reclaim it than it would have been originally for the full-size parcel.
Well, how could we follow this recommendation today in voting on this? Who would determine what it would be?
Well, you could control it by phases if they're going to phase it.
And your office would set the
bond? We'd have to track. Well, the commission would have to.
Commission.
But the amount would not be less than 125% of the cost to reclaim. Mm-hmm. And it could be done in phases as they progress over the 5-year. We have to reevaluate the site after 5 years anyway. It could be that because the banks aren't going to put up a bond for 40 years.
I know that, right.
They're going to want to do it partially.
Do we really want to heap more cost on these businesses during these economic times? I mean, we don't seem to have a crisis of unreclaimed borrow pits.
Well, we did. Yes, we do. In Sussex, Lawrence, how many unclaimed, how many defunct pits are out there that are 100?
Right, there's a lot of pits out there.
Well, educate Mr. Phillips here. He thinks there
is a problem.
I don't
have a list in front of me, but there's a large list of bar pits that we've maintained for years, and we even tried to map them all out where they are. But there's also
Jackson pits, one
a large number of conditional use bar pits that are there. There is some control over those, but there's not much control over the pre-existing.
No.
Because we've got the 5-year review. I mean, there's a whole new set of regulations in place that don't apply to those old ones,
well,
and we just don't have the problems that we used to have.
5-year compliance on it, but doesn't really give any degree of protection. So.
Mr. Adams.
I would ask the council to review the feasibility of a bond. I believe Mr. Phillips mentioned, I don't know that to be able to place a bond for a 40-year on a bar, I don't know if my bonding agency or the bank would ever do that. I don't know the feasibility of it.
We don't know either. That's what.
Well, some of them, when you refer to performance, sometimes there's an insurance company guaranteed by performance, and it's still called a performance bond, but it's actually an insurance issue, and they have to keep their insurance up with a certain rate. We've seen some performance bonds.
Is it possible that you could find out something about this, and if we deferred and come back in a week and give us any insight into that?
If I could ask a little bit more, because as opposed to other reclaiming other things, basically you make slopes to a certain degree and stabilize them. And I think, and I'll let Mr. Adams answer me, I think that happens as they go along anyway. So it may be $5,000 of cash to post, because almost the work will continue as the excavation proceeds, and I think there'll be inspections. So it might be more trouble than it's worth in that sense, because you're going to have the reclamation as you move forward with the work. I could suggest a cash amount that could be posted with the county just in case.
The concern is as we move forward, there'll be other applicants. I know that financially this company's very stable, it's been here a long time. But as we get other applications, and as we've tried to come up with all this list with Horsey, I think it started with, right? We tried to develop some criteria. Anyway.
I think it's the cost gap is probably pretty small.
I don't know what it is.
Because of what you're doing. Your reclamation plan is really what you're doing as you go along.
Can I make a suggestion that may address this? If what I'm hearing from Mr. Dulkel and what I'm hearing from council's concerns is maybe the way to handle it is if at the time you submit your final site plan to the Planning and Zoning Commission, you submit a phasing and reclamation bonding proposal. You know, so it sounds like if you can submit something where it's going to be, you know, ongoing, it leaves it in your hands in terms of, you know, the amount that you talk about.
We can do that, and then we'll have more specifics to deal with.
I just think there needs to be some safeguard. This is a huge pit. And
Well, the commission got that directly from the code, because the last item, E, under 115-172B, states, in order to assure completion of the approved reclamation, the commission may recommend to the council that performance guarantee to be required. That's basically what they said, and they were a little bit more clear about where it's from.
Is that fine?
That sounds like a good solution.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
That way you all won't get held up in the minutiae of that. And
I don't have any understanding.
That's not hard to get.
But I think it's important.
Is there any other questions from council?
Would that condition then, number 14, should it be rewritten a little bit to specify what you just said? Clarify that.
It probably should be. That.
See if you could.
Yeah, let me.
Rework that.
Give me 1 second. You know what? Let's delete number 14 and add to number 20 that the final site plan shall contain a phasing and reclamation guarantee. I don't know where that. Shall contain a phasing and reclamation guarantee method for approval of the commission.
Would you make that 19 or 20?
Please.
21. Oh, 20.
I was just sort of adding it to 20, but
that's
you
fine.
Can, you know.
Okay.
So the 20 would now say, we delete number 14, and 20 would now say, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission and shall contain a phasing and reclamation guarantee method for approval by the commission. I think that covers it. And that way they can address in the plan, you know, how it sort of and keep their costs to a minimum as well as it moves forward.
There's no more comments from council.
Anyone here in favor of this application? Let the record show there's not. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Again, it appears that no one's here in opposition. Unless council has anything else, that'll close the public hearing.
No objection. Public hearing is closed. record will be closed, and you may read the title. Mr. Wilson, would you like to share something?
I'm just saying it's kind of foolisher to tell somebody if you're going to dig a hole, how soon we got to dig it, or how fast we got to dig it, when you have a completion date. That sounds... that's sort of...
We're not telling them that, are they?
Well, Sam, it's...
Oh, they are in a sense.
Sam, you mean the one about 40 years?
It could be 40, it could be... I mean, when you go putting up your money here, bonds and all that.
Wait, okay.
You expect a man to hold a bond for 40 years?
No. We just went through that. We're going to shorten it.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not listening good enough.
No, they were shortening it.
There will be discretion at the point of the planning and zoning approving the final site plan with regards to the form of the bonding for reclamation.
And it'll be based on what the applicant submits.
Mm-hmm.
Get a chance to...
They're controlling it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Read the title, Mr. Roberts.
Okay. Again, it's conditional use number 1829 filed on behalf of ML Joseph Sand and Gravel, which is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to expand excavation of a borrow pit to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 40.85 acres, more or less.
Oh, wait, we leave out the 40 years. 40-year, the permit expires and they just reapply.
Again, if that's the case, you could put that in as item number 14 that we're doing.
14, okay.
Would you like to make that motion, Mr. Cole?
Yes, I'll make the motion with the two amendments.
A second, please.
Okay.
A motion and a second to approve additional use permit number 1829 on behalf of ML Joseph Sand and Gravel Incorporated. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Ms. Deaver, if you could give your reasons.
Articulate reasons, please.
Because this is more practical and possible on a benefit of the applicant.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, according to my book, that baby needs 500 and some pound of zinc, so I guess we ought to vote for it. But.
Mr. Cole.
Anyway, I vote yes on the recommendation of planning zoning.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes. It's an extension of an existing pit. It's in an area that's been familiar with the...
We're just voting on the amendment, aren't we?
Or are you voting on the amendments or the...
Mr. Roberts.
As amended, I'm sorry.
I thought the motion was as amended.
I said as
amended. I'm sorry, Ms. Deaver. Yeah, when I...
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it clear. It's
are you okay with your vote?
The ordinance as amended.
No, I was just voting yes. I would vote yes for the conditional use as amended with the... conditions as discussed.
Okay. And Mr. Wilson, your vote remains correct. Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes because it's an extension of an existing pit. And with the conditions, it will make the operation compatible with the surrounding area and not degrade it, the infrastructure in the area. Yes.
Mr. Benson.
Yeah, it's an extension of what's already there. I was by there a couple of days ago and looked at it. It's a well-run operation, and I started putting the buffers in for the area around there, and all the neighbors seem to be in favor of it. So certainly I vote yes.
And I vote yes as well, based on record and recommendation of planning zoning with the amendments to the conditions, because it is a good project and a good company doing it. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. When you going to stop it?
Can't vote on conditions as amended.
That same new fishing is that.
Great new fishing. Additional use 1830, J&T Properties. Mr. Roberts.
This is, as Mr. Phillips stated, conditional use number 1830 filed on behalf of J&T Properties, LLC. It is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an outpatient physical therapy clinic to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 24,553 square feet of land, or less. Mr. Lank?
Yes, thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on May 13th, 2010. I just passed down a copy of the exhibit booklet submitted on May 3rd of 2010 for the council's perusal. We've received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, which are part of my record. We also received comments from the Sussex Conservation District. Lester Moyer and Art Abbott were present on behalf of Southern Delaware Physical Therapy with Jim Fuqua, attorney, Fuqua, Urey, and Willard Professional Association, and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. On May 13th of 2010, the Commission deferred action for further consideration. On May 27th of 2010, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Berger said he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use 1830 for J&T Properties LLC for an outpatient physical therapy clinic based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is generally similar to other C1 and B1 uses in the vicinity of the property along Savannah Road, including shopping centers. There are also similar conditional uses in the immediate area for doctor's offices. Two, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties, community, or traffic. Three, the project is consistent with the county's comprehensive development plan and is in an environmentally sensitive developing district, which permits a proposed use. Four, the property has frontage on Savannah Road and on a proposed roadway owned by DelDOT. The entrance will be via an easement an easement over the DelDOT land, and there will be no direct access to Savannah Road. Five, the use benefits the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County residents and will provide physical therapy offices in a convenient location along Savannah Road near the City of Lewis and BB Hospital. Six, the project will be served by Central Water and Central Sewer, shall be provided by Sussex County. Seven, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, there will only be one lighted sign on the premise that shall not exceed 32 square feet on each side. Two, any security lights shall only be installed on buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. Three, as proposed by the applicant, the hours of operation shall be limited to between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Four, as stated by the applicant, the building shall have a residential appearance. Five, the applicant must comply with all DelDOT requirements concerning the entrance, easement, and roadway improvements. Six, as stated by the applicant, the use shall be a physical therapy practice. Seven, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan for the property. Eight, the applicant shall comply with all County Engineering Department requirements for connection of the property to the Sussex County Sewer District, including any system upgrades that are necessary to serve the property. And nine, the site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 5-0. To date, I received no additional comments from any individual or agency on this application. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Fuqua, and while you're walking to the podium, is there anyone here with an interest in this application? Mr. Fuqua, it appears that it's just you and your folks.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney representing the applicant, J&T Properties, LLC. With me, seated right back here, are Les Moyer and Art Abbott, who are on behalf of the applicant, and also Roger Gross from Muirstone Consultants. There was an exhibit book submitted that I'll be referring to. This is a conditional use application for a physical therapy office for a site located at 1545 Savannah Road, just west of Lewis. The property contains 24,896 square feet. It's located on the north side of Savannah Road, and it's approximately across from the Savannah Road West Coates corner or West Coates Road intersection. J&T Properties owns the land. They purchased it in 2004. J&T will build the proposed building and lease it to Southern Delaware Physical Therapy. J&T and Southern Delaware Physical Therapy basically are the same ownership. It's just different forms of who owns the land and who operates the business. Southern Delaware Physical Therapy started its physical therapy business in Sussex County about 20 years ago. In Lewis, it was originally the Lewis Physical Therapy. The business has grown over the years. Business now has offices at six locations in Lewis, Georgetown, Milford, Rehoboth, Long Neck, and Smyrna. It employs 52 people and has served thousands of county residents over the years, including myself. As to the proposed site and the conditional use, the parcel currently has a house and a garage located on it, which would be removed. There are no wetlands on the site, and the site is outside of the 100-year flood zone. The new office would be a two-story building. It would be in a traditional style, more of a residential style than a commercial style. The total floor area would be 6,506 square feet. The first floor would be 4,606 square feet. That would be the area for patient treatment and rehab area, which is normally a large open space. There would be consultation rooms, a receptionist office area, and bathrooms. The second floor would be approximately 900 square feet, and it would be for administration, staff use, and storage. The office hours are approximately, based on their other locations, 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. In the conditions we requested in the planning and zoning stated 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. just to have some wiggle room. The entrance to the site will be from an easement from DelDOT, which is on the property located to our west and adjacent to our site. And Roger can just point that out right there. That property is owned by the state, and it's planned to be used as part of a future realignment of Old Orchard Road. Old Orchard Road would be relocated to intersect at this existing controlled intersection at Savannah Road and Westcoats Road. This realignment was discussed extensively at the time that the Villages of Five Points was being planned. There was a TIS done as part of that application, which improvements were required and recommended from that study for this intersection, and those improvements have been constructed and those intersection improvements are completed. Technically, our entrance would be considered a temporary entrance that will become a permanent entrance from Old Orchard Road if and when the realignment is constructed. So our site will have no direct access onto Savannah Road. It will actually be accessed to Savannah Road by way of the DelDOT easement, which initially would be a drive coming to our property. This particular application did not require a traffic impact study. The support facilities report that was done indicated minor additional traffic impact. The peak hour impact per the support facilities report is 16 vehicles per hour during the peak AM hour and 24 vehicles per hour during the peak PM hour. The other offices of Southern Delaware Physical Therapy average approximately 40 patients a day, so over a 8-hour to 10-hour period, that would really only be 4, 5, or 6 patients an hour, so the actual traffic impact is probably even less than the support facilities report indicates. Water for domestic use and fire protection would be from a public utility, a company that would be Tidewater Utilities. Tidewater issued a letter that they are willing and able to serve. There would be a certificate of public convenience and necessity that would have to be expanded from their existing service area. Sewer would be provided by Sussex County as part of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The county engineer letter indicates that the owners would be responsible for lateral upgrades and could be required to participate in sewer line and pump station upgrades. And that recommendation from the county engineer is contained in the recommended conditions from planning and zoning. Stormwater management would comply with county and state regulations. The site would use an infiltration system that would be located under the parking lot to maximize groundwater recharge. The site plan, as shown there, has 27 parking spaces. It includes 2 handicap spots. The parking is located both in the front and side and rear yards, which is consistent with other properties in the area, and adjacent to us is a Happy Harry's drugstore, which has a similar parking arrangement. There's 1 loading space located on the site plan to the rear of the building, and there's a screen dumpster that would be located in the rear corner. The site would have landscaping or fence along the north and the east boundaries, and that would be shown on the site plan review, assuming this is approved. The site appears to be located in the level 2 area of the state strategies map, and is in the environmentally sensitive development area under the county comprehensive plan, which, as you know, is a designated growth area. The proposed conditional use is consistent with the zoning and existing uses in the area, which is predominantly business and medical office use. And in the exhibit book, if you would turn to tab 2, there's a tax map there. And I'll just briefly summarize what's around us. The immediately to our west, as I said, is the state right-of-way, which will be utilized for our entrance. Next to that land is zone C1, general commercial. The closest improvement toward our site is a Happy Harry's drugstore. And then running west from there, there's an HVAC office, a takeout chicken office, an Italian restaurant, and a liquor store. Mr. Robertson could live in that parking lot with those services available. Behind that is a medical office, which is approved as a conditional use number 1150. That's Dr. Speaker's office, his medical group. That actually fronts on Old Orchard Road. And then further west from the site is a Food Line grocery store and the Villages of Five Points, which you're familiar with. South from our site, which is across Savannah Road, the lands there are also zoned C1 general commercial. There's a contractor's and business's office located on the west side of West Coast Road. And then on the east side of West Coast Road, which again is also zoned general commercial, is Windsor Flowers and All Pro Maids. And then if you go east on Savannah Road, there are also several doctor's offices located along there, which I believe were approved as a conditional use, and one site that's zoned B1. Adjacent to our site on the east is a single-family residence. That residence is owned by the Honorable Jane Brady, judge of the Delaware Superior Court, and her husband. I did speak with Judge Brady, and she indicated to me that they had no objection to this application. Next to the Brady property, and to the rear of the Brady property and our property, is a 5-acre parcel developed as the Bayview Medical Center that has actually three separate medical-related facilities and a parking lot. Again, that was approved as two different conditional uses. Conditional use 1028 and conditional use 1243. So basically, our site and the Brady property are literally surrounded by commercial uses and medical offices approved as conditional uses. And our request for Southern Delaware Physical Therapy is in character and similar to the existing uses that surround us. At the May 27th meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission, as Mr. Lang stated, the commission unanimously recommended approval of our application, subject to the 9 conditions which Mr. Lang stated, which are acceptable to us. And for the reasons stated, and particularly for the existing commercial nature of the surrounding properties, we request your approval for the reasons stated by the Planning Commission and subject to the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission. And other than any questions you may have, that would conclude our presentation.
Is there any questions from council?
Well, the sewer issue, it seems to be the big bugaboo here. Your request is 6 times what the engineering department has suggested is what the area is designed for, and they also cited there are deficiencies. And we had a previous case just down the road, had a similar situation. And it was denied. I think they're challenging it, but it was denied for sewer and traffic issues. So, do you want to elaborate? Give me your position, because I might ask our engineering department. I see an individual over here. Can you address? Are you capable of addressing this issue, if called upon?
More or less.
Thank you. Okay. Tell us why this shouldn't be a concern.
Yes, Mr. Cole, and I would state as a beginning point that I've had this discussion with you many times over the years, and I'm familiar with your point of view.
I like sewers to work. Yeah.
And the issues, the statements you have made regarding this. I would state that, first of all, as far as the conditional use down the street that was denied recently, I know that that was a main reason that you voted against that. But I would state that in my review of the hearing, that was not the majority's point of view as to why that was turned down. There was questions there regarding the streetscape entering into Lewis, as well as the entrance road being the entrance to Covey Creek, as I recall. And I think they were factors that other people decided.
Also factors, right.
As far as the actual issue, and again, as I said, we've had this discussion many times, but the county engineering office, when they did a planning study, they based that on certain assumptions, which is certainly proper. When you're planning something, you have to make certain assumptions. The assumptions that they made were that within that planning area, existing commercial properties would basically be assigned 12 EDUs. Existing residential properties greater than 1 acre would be assigned 4 EDUs. And existing residential properties less than 1 acre would be assigned 1 EDU. So that was the assumption that was made. An assumption is not a fact. It's an assumption. The definition of it is that it's a proposition that is taken for granted as if it were true without basically any evidence to support that. And I'm not saying that's wrong. That's just what an assumption is. And in planning, an assumption is an assertion about some characteristic of the future that underlies the plan. And that's good planning. That's how you plan those things. Now, that doesn't mean that's exactly how things are going to be. There'd be no reason for any change of zone or any land use changes or anything else if you were just going to have that as it. So the reality of it is it's a good plan, and that's the general view of what's going to happen. Now, this is a good situation to, I think, point out why those assumptions are only assumptions. In this case, Mr. Gross happens to be involved in a project across the street. I mentioned a zone commercial across Savannah Road, and that zone commercial, so that under this assumption has 12 EDUs, but the actual project that's being built there is going to use significantly less than that, I think it's fair to say. Probably closer to 4 EDUs per acre as compared to the 12. And an even more clearer example is, again, if you look at that tax map, the land next to us, which I refer to as the right-of-way of the state of Delaware, which is also involves another parcel located further back, which is the extension of that right-of-way, the state bought those lots and are basically inventorying them for this future road alignment. Well, no EDUs are ever going to be utilized on that ground because the state's going to make a road out of it. So there's some EDUs that won't be used under that assumption. So,
but what rule of thumb should we use? We had that other application you referred to where they just doubled the EDU, right? This time you've actually more than doubled. The next one, I mean, when do these assumptions, all of a sudden we should assume that some of these assumptions are valid because...
But when you tag me with that...
But we have deficiencies already.
But when you tag me with that, I had one and now I'm asking for six... I had one because we have less than an acre, and you said I only get one. If I had an acre, if I had 1.1 acre, I would have had four. I mean, that's not rational either. It's an assumption.
I understand.
And I'm saying there has to be some flex. There has to be some.
I agree.
But some give and take involved.
But your application today seems to be quite.
Well, I disagree because
in your. Expanding. If it was just a little bit over or something, I could understand it, then we might be able to handle it, but it sounds like we have problems.
But it's only excessive because the county said if you had less than 1 acre, it's only one. If you had more than 1 acre, it's four. There's a jump there. There's a quadruple jump there if you have that one-tenth of an acre.
Okay.
I think the key, though, is, and like I said, I understand your point of view, and I'm not critical of it other than I think it's a little bit strict. The main thing is, as recommended by the county engineer, if you exceed these things, there maybe have to be upgrades that need to be done. And on a sharing level, this applicant and another applicant, if one's involved, will be responsible for that financial burden.
Where do we get those? Where do we get those guarantees? I don't know if we have a system set up where we can, these once an application gets approved and moves on, that we can go back and start saying, oh, by the way, you're now going to share in some of this stuff.
Well,
so that's the difficulty. We don't have that.
In our particular application, since it is a conditional use,
mm-hmm.
it is a condition of approval. It was recommended by the Planning Commission, and you can put that in there. Now, the point you raise is a different question.
Well,
the county enforce it. I mean, the county will have to determine that, but we'd be legally binding on our conditional
use. But, Jim,
use.
My understanding is based on the last application is we haven't done the studies to know what the deficiencies are, so we don't know what the charge is because we don't know what the problem is. We just know that there are problems. We don't know how extensive they are, but we can debate it.
I know, but
we've heard this debate before.
Right.
So
is there anything new
to discuss at this point?
No, the only other thing I would add that particularly in this particular case, aside from that issue, as I explained, this piece of property is literally surrounded with commercial use, and this is the highest and best and most appropriate use of this site.
Is it going to be just one unit there, one space, or is it going to be multiple?
You mean
one
user?
One user.
Yes, it's going to be Southern Delaware Physical Therapy.
Was that in the conditions? It's not in the conditions.
I think the condition was that it didn't say Southern Delaware Physical Therapy, but it stated that it would be used for, as stated by the applicant, it would be used exclusively as, shall be a physical therapy practice. So I suppose it could be
physical
more than
therapy
one.
Practice.
Well, is that under number 7? Where are you?
6.
Number 6.
Number 6. Okay. All right, Nick, I'd also like to hear from our engineering department whenever we get a chance, Mr. Attorney. I don't know if now is appropriate or later.
It's appropriate. Anything else for Mr. Fuqua?
Mr. Fuqua, unless you have anything else to present.
No, we don't have anything else to present.
Come on up, sir.
Mr. Ashman, if you would want to. You can state your name real quick.
John Ashman, Sussex County Engineering Department.
You're familiar with the question and the concern, so I'm trying to now refer to you all because we had the problem before where I think I understood you to say that you weren't real quite sure what the issues were that are downstream.
Yeah,
we haven't done a study.
We know at our build-out assumptions that there will be deficiencies down line. Do we know exactly what they are at this point without going through counting EDUs for each parcel to find out what remaining EDUs are left? We do not know the extent of that.
So you're saying based on your current assumptions of what you've allocated in that area, there are going to be deficiencies.
And what has been approved.
If you add on that, it's going to be even.
We expect them to be more using our assumptions, yes.
See, okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Not only do we use the assumptions to give these properties a certain number of EDUs, that's also the pipelines we design for. That's what's in the ground, is according to the assumptions.
Okay, so the engineering department, could you clarify that? It says this wastewater is not available. Do you support the change of zone from the department? It kind of just goes on and saying, well, if you do it, you know, it's like one of those statements. And again, I know we don't have any mechanism because we had this debate with the other attorney in the other application about how to catch up with these, you know, if we do get in a problem down the road. So where does the engineering department, if you could just give us a nice, easy statement of support or not support as the way this application has been presented?
I don't know that we support it going to 6 times the size. I mean, that's sort of large on us. If that continues, then our deficiency is going to obviously occur quicker. But, you know, obviously we can review, and if downstream lines are upgraded by the project, then potentially there's something that can...
How long would it take the engineering department to figure out what downstream?
I think that question was asked of Mr. Izzo earlier, and I don't know that he had a time frame line that was capable of being done.
Okay. Mr. Vincent.
I guess, and these are more statements than questions of Mr. Ashman, but I know this subject came up before, and I've had conversation with Mr. Izzo and Mr. Baker, and I think two things. One is, I think you referenced a while ago, I don't think we have a real handle on how many EDUs have been used versus what were allocated for certain locations in the district.
Correct.
And the second thing is, if I'm understanding, this goes way back whenever, that when they did this district, there was some concern from the people in the district about keeping the cost down. And that this district was, in fact, designed for what was there currently when they designed it. It was not designed for some kind of big future growth to keep the cost down. Is that a fair statement?
And I believe that is what he stated before.
So, I mean, we have we, the county, have created part of this problem by doing that to start.
But if you don't have it.
But they do that with every district.
No, that's not what I've been told. I've been told this was the only one that occurred, and because of the cost of the district and the people there not wanting to pay a lot of money up front, that they designed it for what was there and in place of it right then.
Well, then, if that's what's happened, then that's what's happened.
Well, you can never do anything then.
So we don't have that.
Well, no. They're allowed to redevelop it just to have certain. But, Mike, here's the question. The last one was double the capacity. This one's six times.
Okay.
Where do you start and stop? Somewhere we, as the legislators here, have to determine what is in the best interest of the sewer district. This is a very expensive, very important part of development. The sewer capacity.
I guess, George, my answer to you would be, if we're going to truly do that, then the only way we can make that decision is we have to know exactly how many EDUs everything that district is using today.
Or are we ready then to authorize?
They can't give us that in 6 months.
Okay, but we haven't authorized them to do that.
All you're going to do is just spending money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We either follow the plan as we got, and everybody knows it, and they're all living with it. I mean, they know what they're buying when they go into these areas. Mm-hmm. Or we then tell our engineering department, go get the consultants, go do a study, find out what's in there so that we can expand everything and make everything bigger and make more, larger buildings, larger projects.
Well, I don't think the consultant's going to tell you that. Well, the only way you're going to know is go to each individual house and what off on the doors in an individual building. How many have you got?
That's what the consultant. I mean, they would do an analysis.
They don't go door to door and do that.
Well, nobody does that.
That's the only way you're going to know.
No, you can tell by looking if it's a residential property. We allocate one EDU. We look at commercial properties and we allocate.
But that doesn't mean they're using that.
Oh, I know that, Mike. But we don't meter anything. We use an EDU calculation to estimate everything. So we can't go back and change the method that we use to calculate. But what we have in the ground is what you have in the ground. And until you tear it up and pull it out of the ground, you shouldn't be changing. I mean, I just think it's irresponsible on our part
We'll start with when the county council previously approved that years ago.
As we said earlier, it's hard to unring the bell. The bell has been rung, and this is what we got.
Okay.
So we either have to live with the conditions at hand, and it's got nothing to do with the applicants, who's coming from this and that. But we've gone from one guy doubling, now guys six times. What's the next one? What's the next one? What's the next one? So somewhere we have to do it. Or what we're going to do, Mike, is we're going to put a financial burden on that sewer district, because if this deficiency gets discovered now, 3 years from now, 4 years, whatever, you all come in front of us and say, we've got a problem here and we have to either raise everybody's rates or raise these impact fees. They're what now, $5,000? What's the impact fee in that district? It stays. It's there. It's there.
Look who showed up.
$4,300, right? How do you make up? Let me ask you this: If there are Mike, you might come up, and if you have deficiencies discovered, and you have no mechanism to go back to the people who maybe caused the deficiencies, the district has to absorb those deficiencies and those upgrades. How do you do it? You either raise the rates on everybody, or you
collect transmission connection fees and use those to fund your upgrades. We've identified lines that are over capacity, that will be over capacity as lands in West Rehoboth Sewer District continue to develop. Mm-hmm. Our only concern with this application, I don't know the exact numbers. What did you have? One EDU?
We have one EDU for a single family home, and they're going for 6.5.
Although it's six times, it's still a relatively small number looking at six EDUs. Our margin of error, so to speak, probably isn't accurate down to three or four or five EDUs. This is, we plan for a certain development level within the West Rehoboth Sewer District for small parcels. If there was any, is this less than 1 acre?
Yeah, less than 1 acre.
So just because there's so many parcels out there, just for convenience as much as anything, if it's an existing home, we count it as one EDU rather than going through and projecting. Okay, it's 0.63 acres. So, I mean, to get down to that level of accuracy, we just don't have it in the way that the sewer districts hydraulically operate. We do know that there's going to be lines down gradient. of this project that have to be upgraded in the future. They have to be upgraded whether this project stays at one EDU or is five EDUs. And I think that's what we tried to convey in our comments. But we also tried to be consistent with the comments that we had given at that previous project, because we know there was, you know, it's a point of contention with the council as far as the litigation is concerned.
Well, I hate to see the district, you know,
we know exactly, we know all the numbers.
Right, but I hate to see, I hate to see the council ignore a lot of times advice, and in 3 or 4 years down the road, we're into a big major project, tearing up the roads again, and just because we've got to fix something, because county council wouldn't just follow the plans. And people in this county are getting tired of having the roads torn up every time they turn around, just to accommodate another little small parcel wanting to oversize things. So
it's a difficult situation for us as well. You know, for us, if I have a 10-acre parcel and we allocated, you know, 40 EDUs, and we had a proposal that was 540 EDUs, that's easy for us to come in and say to the county council, this doesn't fit.
Right.
But when you're talking about one EDU versus five or six,
I mean, they're all, he's already saying, George, the plan isn't that precise.
I understand it.
And there's no way it could. No, you could do this. I can't make it any more precise just because.
And
of the
as far as the cost of this, Mike, aren't the monies that people pay now, connection fees and all these fees in that sewer district?
The connection fees are.
That goes into a pot.
It goes into one of two accounts. When you pay your connection fee, a portion of it is for treatment expansion. A portion of it is for transmission. Transmission
expansion.
Is the pipelines in the ground. Now, again, we know we got pipelines that are down gradient. And, you know, in this area, it's not the easiest area to go out into these main roads to work just because of the traffic and the situation. So, I mean, if we didn't have to go in and upgrade those pipelines, that would be the best.
And how long would the pipe, if we didn't have to, if we follow the plan, how long, when would we ever have to tear up the roads again?
I have the information upstairs. I don't know it off the top of my head unless John has the hydraulic study that
I do not have the hydraulic study.
We do have that information upstairs. I can report back. I will tell you the similar situation for the what was the name of the project that we're in litigation about?
The Brockstead.
Brockstead project. We were looking in the next 10 years, probably we would have to upgrade that line. And this is in a similar portion of the sewer shed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have revisited this once again. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Robertson, let's hear from the public, please.
Is there anyone here who is in favor or would like to speak in favor of this application? I'll let the record show there's none. If there's anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to the application, here's again that there is none. Unless there's anything further from the council, I would ask that the hearing be closed.
Without objection, thank you. And if there's no objection from the council, we'll close the record. Record is closed.
I've got one other comment I'd like to make about that plan over there. The location of the dumpster, we've tried to get these dumpsters away from neighboring property owners. It seems it's closer to the neighbor than it could be to the applicant. So if I'd love to see the relocation of the dumpster brought into the interior near the building or something away from, at least away from the neighboring property owners.
This Brady property ends up here.
Right.
This is actually the corner for where the medical offices are.
Okay.
This is really all open space back here. There really isn't anything.
Okay. All right. And maybe
we can take that up.
That may be suitable, and maybe not. We don't need to reference it. I didn't know it was adjoining back there. I thought maybe it was abutting to a Brady property.
All right. If it's the pleasure of the council, we'll pass to Mr. DeVos.
Mr. President, how firm is it that they're going to build something that looks residential, Mr. Lang? How secure can we be in that, and how does
the
that
the commission
work?
Required that, then they should have to submit elevation drawings so we would see what the building will look like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you feel very confident.
It's an appearance issue.
Right. It's just a judgment call, but
up to the commission not to make that determination.
Mm-hmm. If it looks like
they had an exhibit.
Mrs. Deaver, and I don't mean this to be exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This was more just some concept.
Right.
But the idea.
I hadn't seen that.
Mm-hmm. You know, the idea was to have roof lines that break, so it's not just a flat roof. Windows of some architectural design, dormers, you know, porch roofs coming out, to have more of a Lewis residential type look.
Yeah.
That'll be part of the architectural design. Mm-hmm.
The final one just has some doors on it, right?
There is no doors on that one. It's a design only.
It's for easy egress.
That's right.
All right, if there is no objection, we'll ask the attorney to read the title.
Okay. Again, this is conditional use number 1830 filed on behalf of J&T Properties, LLC. The title being an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an outpatient physical therapy clinic to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 24,553 square feet of land, more or less.
Okay. Is there a motion to that effect?
I'll make the motion.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Yep.
I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1830 on behalf of J&T Properties, LLC, with the findings and conditions as proposed by planning and zoning. Is there any discussion before we take the vote? Now we'll take the vote. Ms. Diva?
I vote no on this. I really want to stick to the plan. We do have deficiencies in that sewer line, and I really want to stick to the plan allocation for that piece of property. And it is surrounded by commercial, and commercial that surrounds it is generating a lot of traffic. I'm looking at this tax map. It's right on a corner, and I do not want to be responsible for adding more traffic to this location, which is already a very troubled spot for the people who come in and out of Lewis. So I vote no.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on the recommendation of P&Z.
Mr. Cole?
I'm going to vote no also, just because I don't oppose the commercial use of the property and the conditional use application. I just believe the exceeding six times the assumptions that the sewer the engineering department has made exceeds it by much too far. I think there should have been some conversation here and discussion of something in between what they were asking for and what the engineering department maybe was suggesting. And there is and this is based on other information, not so much, I don't think it was shared here today, but we still have no mechanism here at the county for the sharing and contributing of to the future cost, and which we're not even sure what they are, really. So I'm still going to have to vote no, just because I think it's on the excessive side, and there should have been something maybe less that would have been less affected the sewer infrastructure. It's in the ground. We're stuck with what's in the ground. I think we need to stick with our plans and because of what's in the ground, dictate what we need to do.
Mr. Benson? I do also share Councilman Cole's concern about the sewer, but I think at the same time, as our engineer has told us, there is not a 100% exact thing on every piece of property out there, and I think they do a good job of trying to project that, but there are issues in that system we have to deal with at some point in time, and that's not because this issue here, just because of the way it was put in the ground, and money is put in the pot to help do that. Planning and zoning recommended yes. I think it fits in with the commercial around the area and the other offices of doctors, and I vote yes.
Our job is land use. This is a very appropriate use of this property, considering its surrounding. Our engineering department is charged with making sure we have capacity. I would encourage them to begin the process of seeing what is necessary so that they can provide us the economic opportunity that this county so desperately needs. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir. Continue.
Next one?
Mm-hmm.
The third and final application or hearing this afternoon is conditional use number 1863 on behalf of Andrew and Carol Walton. The title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a marina with restaurant, retail, and multifamily dwelling structures, being five units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 0.84 acres of land.
Yes, thank you. This application was reviewed through the public hearing process with the Planning and Zoning Commission on May 13th of 2010.
The applicants had provided an exhibit booklet, which I've passed down to the members of council. That was submitted on May 3rd of 2010. We received comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, Sussex Conservation District. We received a letter in opposition from Heath and Michelle Reiner. Andy and Carol Walton were present with Zach Crouch, professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel, and y'all gave testimony. Linda Walls, a 40-year resident of the area, was present in support and gave testimony. Attilio Capini, did I say that right? The restaurant operator was present in support and gave testimony. David Harper, an adjacent landowner, was present in support and gave testimony. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. The commission did defer action for further consideration on May 13th of 2010. On May 27th, 2010, the commission discussed the application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1863 for Andrew and Carol Walton for a marina with restaurant, retail, and multifamily dwelling structure, proposing 5 units based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, this is the site of a prior conditional use approved for a marina with boat rental, boat slip rental, bait and tackle sales, sandwich shop, craving pier, office, and residence. This new conditional use is consistent with the prior approved uses for the property. Two Oak Orchard residents appeared in favor of the application, stating that it will be a benefit to the area. Three, the use with the stipulations and conditions placed upon it will not have an adverse effect on neighboring properties or the neighborhood. Four, the proposed use will not have an adverse effect upon traffic. Five, the use of the marina with restaurant and retail is of a public benefit to the residents of Oak Orchard and should help revitalize small businesses within the heart of Oak Orchard. Six, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. One, this conditional use shall replace conditional use number 1088 for the property. Two, there shall be no more than 10 boat slips permitted, and all boat slips, dock, pier, and marina activities shall be subject to all state and federal requirements that may be applicable to the use. Three, all entrance, intersection, roadway improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT determination. Four, no boat storage shall be permitted except for boats belonging to the owner of the property. Five, no boat motor repair shall be permitted. Six, no fuel sales shall be permitted. Seven, there shall not be an arcade. Eight, there shall be no more than 5 residential units on the property. Nine, there shall be parking as required by the zoning code. The spaces shall be delineated on site, and there shall be landscaping or a fence between the parking area and Oak Orchard Road to separate the parking area from the roadway. Then the property shall be connected to the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District and shall comply with all Sussex County Engineering Department requirements for the connection or system upgrades required to serve the property. 11, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements using best management practices. 12, security lighting shall be screened from neighboring properties and roadways. 13, all dumpsters or trash receptacles shall be screened from view. And 14, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Ross, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. I did receive one letter on May 17th of 2010. It was from Margaret Hurt, and it was received after the public hearing before the commission. So the commission was not privy to this correspondence. The letter states this is in response to the application of Andrew and Carol Walton. The homes in the area are one family or vacation homes. As far as the restaurant and retail space goes, retail does not belong in a residential area. The restaurant is fine because it has always been there. Over the weekend, I was watching as the restaurant was filling up with patrons or workers. The lot near the restaurant had at least 25 cars. The proposal for parking only allows for 30 spaces and 2 handicapped spots. 5 multifamily dwelling units will fill at least 15 of these spaces. where are all the patrons from the restaurant going to park? Besides the parking, how about the traffic on Oak Orchard Road? That road can't accommodate two cars going different directions. How will it be with all this additional development? Therefore, I am against the proposal to allow change to the MR medium density classification. This is an older community with a lot of character. The Planning and Zoning Commission should not allow this to happen, and I am against granting this a proposal. Signed, Margaret Hurt.
And who wrote that, please?
Margaret Hurt was the writer. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Lawrence, I see on the map they gave us where it's laid out on the property. I assume that those Pine Street and the road, I guess River Road extended or something there, is that those roads on their are on their property now?
There's a the road actually crosses their property to connect.
I can actually, just because we had to get an easement for the sewer district, that the state roads don't connect.
Right.
They end sort of at variously at the property lines, and then that's on their property subject to an easement that sort of connects the two. And there's a sewer pipeline that runs through there, and you know, it's an easement that, again, connects the two.
So whoever owned the property at some point in time gave an easement to somebody put a road in there?
Yeah, just, you know, for public use, it's just one of those things that developed.
It's almost an adverse possession issue, yeah, or it just became a roadway and everybody used it.
They could take the easement back. I mean, they could just say no.
No, I don't think they could take it, particularly now that there's a sewer pipeline in there and it shows up on the site plan, I believe, as well.
It's existed for 50, 60 years.
Well, I know it has. It's been back in the 50s, but I mean, my question is, what?
You can't close it off?
You're closing it off.
Once you get an easement, you're done.
Why look at this map wrong or something?
No, it's, here, this. Look at this one. Where, Mike, the color one here.
Yeah, that just reflects the state roads.
Yeah.
The DLDOT maintain roads, but actually in terms of
there it is, yeah,
the roads that the public has the right to use, it connects. It's just because this is taken off the tax map, it just shows where the state right-of-way is beginning and end.
Okay. So the roadway stays there.
Roadway stays there.
You just park on either opposite sides of it.
Yeah. And the applicant made that part of the record that they were not going to close that road.
Okay.
So you can park on that road.
So is it my understanding there's four residential units in that front building by the water?
Oh.
Yeah. And then the one in the back is the fifth? Is that the five residential units we're talking about? So there's four in the front building. And go ahead, get up
there. Mr. Crouch, yes, if you could. Before you begin, is there anyone here that has an interest in this application besides the applicant? Mr. Crouch, it appears it's just you. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have an interest? You were hiding behind Mr. Crouch. I'm sorry. No, that's fine. I'll call your name then. I just wanted to see if there was anybody in addition to Mr. Crouch that wanted to speak.
Good afternoon, Ms. Deaver, Councilman. Zach Crouch, for record, Zach Crouch with Davis Bone and Friedel, 23 North Walnut Street, Milford, Delaware, professional engineer, 12734. I guess to kind of cut to the chase, Mr. Cole, yes, you're correct. Five units. One would be the relocation of the existing building, which would be to the back of the parcel, and of course two on top of the proposed structure, which would consist of the retail and also the restaurant itself. To kind of just give a brief presentation on what our request is you know, just not to kind of elaborate on what Mr. Lank has already said, but you know, today we're here for a revision to a actual conditional use that was done back in 1994 to allow for four additional residential units and a restaurant and retail for a new building, and to relocate the existing building to the back of the parcel and use as a residential unit. The property consists of 8.4 acres and is currently zoned MR. The property is also located in an environmentally sensitive development area and is shown on a future land use plan as part of a comprehensive plan. The current condition based on the conditional use 1088 is for a restaurant, 20 boat slips, and a marina for boat rentals, boat slips for 20, bait and tackle, sandwich shop, and crab and pier, resident, office, etc. So, of course, we would be kind of defining those as per the conditions that Planning Commission submitted as part of the recommendations. But there again, it would be part of that conditional use as well. The proposed conditions would be for a restaurant and four apartments, and the proposed building would consist of 2,800 square feet, a 2,800 square foot restaurant, which would be located in this area here. 1,200 square feet of retail store, which would be located here, and then four apartments, which would be on the second floor two, and on the third floor two more, totaling 2,000 square feet apiece, and then 700 square foot patio overlooking the bay, which would be located in this area here. The existing boat slips and dock wall remain per what's out there today. The parking spaces that are actually on per the site plan that was submitted to you as far as this application, as well as in your booklet as well, there's 20 non-parking spots required, and we're showing 30. And then, of course, the 10 existing boat slips that are existing per the pier. And, you know, even though the existing conditional use says 20, I think one of the conditions based on the Planning Commission is to limit that to 10, and we don't have a problem doing that.
Excuse me?
The owner doesn't plan on, excuse me?
You trailed off at your last sentence.
The existing conditional use said for 20 boat slips, and mm-hmm. you know, currently there's only 10. We would just request that the 10 stay, just because we don't, you know, the owner doesn't plan on building the additional 10 boat slips.
Okay.
Civil and engineering portion of it, it does fall within the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. It is correspondence in the booklets, which there is no deficiency downstream, and the county doesn't see any deficiencies with the proposed use of this project. Todd Barber will be serving water, fire protection will be the engineer of the fire company, and then stormwater management will be best management practices, which we will incorporate bio retention located pretty much in this area here. We are within the Inland Bays watershed, so we do have to abide by the pollution control strategy, which is an additional 40% reduction in nitrogen and phosphorus. And there again, that would be something that we would have to coordinate with Conservation District as well as DNREC to make sure that we meet those requirements. But bio retention is the best way to, you know, when you have to do additional treatment for nitrogen and phosphorus, is the best way to get that, you know, some type of green practice, and that's what we're proposing here, which would also discharge into the bay. So we would have some type of discharge into the bay after it's treated. Traffic impact study was not required. I mean, there's a letter, there's a service letter evaluation request to DLDOT, in which a response was based on the existing conditions and based on what we were doing. The traffic was minimum, not to require a traffic impact study. There's no wetlands that exist on light on the site. Environmental Resources actually did a walkthrough of the property, so there would be no permits requested for the site for any type of wetlands. And the owner is also participating. I think this is pretty important, the Delaware Clean Marina Program, in which they actually submit a operating manual and plan to DNREC to be included in this program, which, you know, they can't fuel, but it's not for fuel and it's not for discharging any waste or anything like that, but it just shows that they're participating in this Clean Marina Program, in which is evaluated every year. The plan and the documentation is actually in tab F, just for your knowledge.
Clean what program?
It's the
Clean Marina.
Delaware Clean Marina
All
program.
All right, they're going to have pump out station?
Excuse me?
Are they going to have a pump out station or what?
No, everything is, that part of the program is to have that at a facility that can actually do it. So, you know, not to, there's a marina that's up the road.
It has one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're channeling everyone there for fuel as well as waste.
Something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But there again, it's pretty intense. But at the same time, it just shows that they're trying to do something with the be part of the clean water program. As part of the DLDOT requirements, the right-of-way stops here and the right-of-way stops here. I mean, as you can tell, there was a connection there. We're going to make it, the connection. We're going to improve the connection. You can't even get a truck around here now. So by the improvements that we're doing, we put turning templates on there. So if any trucks, we don't expect any trucks from the restaurant's perspective. Everything's pretty much small trucks, if I'm not mistaken. But if there's any trucks that come in this area, at least there's a better flow. All this will be gravel to help stormwater management. This area here will be paved. It should be a different hatch, but in your booklets, it does show this being paved because they are handicap areas which need to be paved. They can't be gravel. We would provide fencing and landscaping per the plan and zoning recommendations, and the rest of the 14 recommendations that were suggested, we have no problem with. So I'm here to answer any questions.
What's existing now in the drawing on the left? What's what do they have now in the back? What is that?
It's overgrown. People
just a field.
Yeah,
vacant lot.
Mm-hmm. It's vacant. Okay. People park stuff there. Mm-hmm. There's boats. I mean, actually, there's a couple pictures in your booklet, which is in C. Mm-hmm. You can see a storage bin. I think actually the first picture, you can see a storage bin there. Mm-hmm. There's a boat, which mm-hmm. I don't even know if Andy even knows the folks that were parking that stuff there, but as part of the conditions that
they're not going to store boats.
No, uh-huh. No, ma'am. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Where's the parking in the new in the plan? Could you point to
all
me?
All that gray.
All the show me the parking.
Gray.
Parking here.
Gray.
There's two places here and mm-hmm. two handicapped.
Okay.
Now then, you got 10 parking places, right, Lawrence? Just for the 5 residential units?
Yes.
Right.
Right. So that leaves what for the restaurant?
20.
And you've got a square footage size for this restaurant already?
Yes.
Okay. So how many people do you think it'll be seating? I mean, it'll just... Because it...
Based on square foot, at one parking space per 50 square foot of patron area.
Okay.
That would include the restaurant facility, the patio outside, if there's any seating...
But is there any other? Have you seen any designs other than this kind of picture?
No. So we haven't gotten to that detail yet until we know they've got approval.
Okay. And how about then the proposed retail? How many parking places would that require?
1 per 200. But and then you've got the units would be 2 for each unit.
So how many? What's the square footage on the proposed retail? How many parking places did you determine for that?
1,200.
You do it at
the site plan.
Since there's multi-use of that building, which is the retail and the restaurant, most likely the calculation is based on 1-5 spaces per 1,000 square foot.
Yes, it's actually there's a in the booklet, Mr. Cole.
There's a
parking breakdown based on the patio, which is 700 square feet, the restaurant, which is 2,800 square feet, and the retail is 1,200 square feet, and of 3,900 square feet plus the 5 spaces per every 1,000 square feet comes out to 19 spaces plus the 2 spaces for the 5 units, which is 10 spaces, which is the required parking spaces of 29 spaces, and then we're showing 30.
So you designed this based on you've got your parking adequate for the design.
That is correct.
Okay.
And once we, there again, just like Mr. Lang says, I mean, we hadn't developed an actual building for this. And then once we go to planning commission, if we actually get approvals and we go through site plan approval, we will show a footprint to show exactly the particular square footages of both the retail and the residential and the restaurant. to make sure that we have adequate parking.
If the the comments from that neighbor who was concerned about the current parking situation didn't think there'd be sufficient parking, if this place is full, the parking's full, where is there any place for people to go to? Where would they have to park if somebody wanted to get in a restaurant and the parking lot's full? Let's say somebody in one of those units, those residential units, has a guest. There isn't any guest parking. They'd take up any restaurant space. So let's say it's a busy weekend. They got some kids down or whatever. Is there any other places for people to park other than parking on other people's property nearby? Is there anything that you're aware of?
I mean, they could park in front of the retail store, but we're not showing that area as parking just because the fire marshal doesn't want us to.
Well, let me ask the attorney a question. We've got a code that requires X amount of parking to make up these what-ifs.
Two things. It's going to need to comply with the zoning code, and the second part of that is it's going to have to comply with the zoning code at the time they come in for final site plan approval. I don't know that we could establish arbitrary, you know, standards for parking above and beyond what's in the code. If there's a concern that there's not enough parking allocated to particular square footage, then you change the code. But I don't want to get council into creating parking standards that aren't in the code already.
Okay.
Mr. Cole, we did have some folks, especially that were adjacent property owners that deal with the restaurant as of today. There's actually one here today. They have looked at the site plan. They think it's, you know, there's not any delineated parking out there that exists today. And with what we're proposing actually delineates parking. And that's the problem there is today. There's no delineation.
I understand that.
I think she can speak on behalf of herself, but I think you'll see that even with some of the other residents that weren't able to come here today just because of working, but testified to planning and zoning that, you know, that's one of the things that they were interested in.
So, Lawrence, it would be my understanding that before a proposed restaurant opened up in this new building, that parking lot would have to be finished?
Correct.
Most definitely.
Mr. Vincent.
I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a good project. And I've heard you talk about the parking for the restaurant and the retail store and the living units and all that kind of stuff comes out to, I guess, one less than you're proposing. Calls for 29, you got 30.
Yes.
Where are the people parked that got the 10 boats out there in the marina?
Yeah, what's well, the code say?
They can all walk down there?
No, they're actually, and you want to talk about the boat slips?
I mean, they got to get there somehow.
That's true.
They got to park their car somewhere.
Right. And I've part of the when I was involved in a marina concept,
I'm going to say all 10 ain't going to just drive it out of the water. They're going, you know what I mean? They're gonna,
and they whatever. Have guests sometimes too. And they have.
Before you answer that, Mr. Robertson, is there parking standards for boat slips?
I want to defer to Mr. Lank on that one. That's what I was just looking at.
It's not listed specifically in the code. It's sort of hypothetical. It's like a miniature golf course. You got a miniature golf course, 18 holes. You tell them they need 18 parking space because not more than four people playing at one time. So that's just the method the commission has to review it as they look at the site plan.
Do they have the flexibility though to determine that there isn't sufficient parking because of the types of uses? They do have that flexibility and the ability to. Make judgment calls, right? So even though we have a code, we have the ability to judgment calls when we feel that there's like Mike just brought up.
I just want to make sure we've got enough parking. That's all. I think it's a good project. It's.
So do you think do you think they have enough parking?
Well, they do. If I guess they do, Georgia, and I guess nobody knows this. I guess devil's advocate, we could say that the people are going to just come somewhere with a boat and drive and have something to eat and leave with the boat or something. I guess that could happen, I guess. But I mean, if anybody parks the boat there and keeps it there, they got to park unless they're within walking distance. Maybe they could be.
Is the marina?
We'll see.
Are the marina slips rented out or are they transient rentals or transient slips? That would be the.
You'd like to come on up?
Step right up.
Somebody come up because
answer my question. Go ahead.
How you doing? My name's Andy Walton. I'm the owner.
Captain sure. Danny.
How you doing? The boat slips, there's a few that are rented. The actual one neighbor on the one side that was here at the other hearing that spoke for us, he has one. most of them that we do rent are local people. Okay. The rest are people that come to the restaurant.
Okay, all right.
So, we don't see cars out there. We have people, like I said, the neighbor keeps his boat there so he can have water. So,
okay.
There's no boat ramp there either, right?
No boat ramp. There's one downfall. So.
And they don't come in with a vehicle and trailer. They've got to bring the boat in from the water side because there's no access
right.
otherwise.
The boats have to be put in a ramp somewhere different.
Yeah. Right.
They do keep a boat in, like the neighbor, and there was, I think, two other neighbors that actually kept boats out there.
Mm-hmm.
They actually walked on their boat
okay.
and
mm-hmm.
left from there.
One thing while we're talking about boats, just for the record so it's clear, originally the prior conditional use from 94 allowed 20 boat slips. Just so that everyone understands, it wasn't the commission that imposed the 10. They came in and said, this is all we want is 10. And so that was the commission adopting what they said they were.
That's what exists is 10 right now.
Right.
And that's what they said they wanted to keep.
Okay.
It's fine.
Who was the prior applicant?
You?
Back in 94.
It was Clyde Hall.
Clyde Hall. Yeah. The person I bought from.
Okay.
Thank you.
I get the concern that the code, the requirements for code car parking space are there. I just question about this boat deal. I think where they're going to come from or whatever.
Something the council should look at is the code on parking. There's some places that would way over exceed what's really reasonable. We've got some that are way short.
Yeah. Okay. There's no requirement that the boat slips are rented to local people who can walk there.
All right. Anything else for the applicant?
Just not enough parking.
Mr. Robertson, continue, please. Are you finished? I'm sorry. Are you finished, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, have a seat.
Thank you, Mr. Crouch. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of the application?
Here she comes.
Ma'am?
Step right on up here.
If you
Step
could
right on up.
Give your name and place of residence for the record.
I've been here before.
Understood.
Good afternoon. My name is Linda Walls. I live at 32805 Oak Orchard Road in Oak Orchard. I've lived there for 42 years, the same place. My property adjoins Mr. Walton's property. Right there. And basically, I've been here before with this, with the whole thing, the issue of parking. I don't see that as a problem. I mean, I've lived there long enough to go through the old hotel. I'm in that location. Okay.
You used to seem like a car.
Yes, you did. Oh, that's how you know the property so well.
I know it very well.
Through the years, the changes that have come about, and when Clyde purchased the property in 94 and he built this beautiful building and the marina and restaurant, I was totally in favor of it, mainly because Oak Orchard is known as a little quaint little place along the river and along the bay, and all of a sudden, with the economic situation hitting, and we were coming around, Oak Orchard got a real sewer. We have real sewer now, thanks to you, and I just think that this project with new and improved structures and so forth would just do nothing but benefit the entire area, not just that area of Oak Orchard, but the entire area. I've said the last time I was here, I had a little thing about like 20, 25 years ago, we were supposed to get some money and the money went to Tunnel at Long Neck instead of us. And I feel that this is going to help bring it back and bring Oak Orchard to where we should be and want to be. I'm just repeating everything I've said every other time. Okay. Anything else?
Nope. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in favor of the application?
Mr. Lang, there was a comment in that letter of opposition about Oak Orchard Road just being one lane or something. Could only accommodate.
It's two lanes.
Linda.
I mean, the road goes, we turn to Delaware Avenue and goes right past my house and down and then around that curve. And I mean, there's space for two cars to pass on that road in front of my house and those houses as well. And Mr. Walton is proposing to fix the curve and so forth, and that will be widened so that you don't have to stop to go to wait for someone to come around. You know, but other than that, there I don't see any problem with that two-way traffic on that road, which basically is in front of my house.
But that's the side road, the Oak Orchard Road. You're not on Oak Orchard Road.
Well, it's called Oak Orchard Avenue.
Avenue, okay.
Yes, so like where it comes where it used to be Bay Road and come around. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I didn't think it was
It's just an extension. On,
mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I'd like to say one thing. I haven't been down there a whole lot. I'm not living there. I mean, I have a house up the street. But what I find, the opposition letter may be from, is people find that they think they want to park on the road. When they get overruns in their house, they don't have area, or not that they don't have area, they don't want to pull in their house. So now they're going to park out on the street. So that may be where they're thinking that their street's not wide enough, but it's not a parking area out there. And I have seen cars parked in that street to where, you know, where they didn't want to pull off into the grass.
While you're there, I'll ask you a question. Are those rental units, are they going to be rental units in there? Are you going to condo them out, or are you going to?
They're probably going to be condos.
You're going to condo, okay.
Yes, sir. I'd like to have limited space there to address the other parking. I mean, in the condo agreement, they'll have spaces on cars in that condo agreement and everything. So it'll be the agreement
designated
for the condos. Mm-hmm. There'll be agreement with the restaurant on parking space to be, and even on the storefront. That'll all be in their in their lease or condo agreements. Thank you.
Okay. Again, is there anyone who'd like to speak in opposition? It appears that there's no.
They had to leave.
Does council have any questions? Close the public hearing.
Without objection, and if there is no objection, we'll close the public record and ask you to read the title.
Certainly. Again, it's conditional use number 1863 filed on behalf of Andrew and Carol Walton. The title being an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a marina with restaurant, retail, and multi-family dwelling structures, proposing 5 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 0.84 acres, more or less.
Could I get that in the form of a motion, please? Is there a second? I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1863 application on behalf of Andrew and Carol Walton. Is there any discussion?
Well, I'm a little bit uncomfortable about there not being any designated parking places for the boat slips, but I want to make sure I understand the answers from Mr. Lank. Is that there will be some, according to planning and zoning will require that?
No, I say they could.
They could require. Well,
but like typically, there's not a provision in our code for parking for marinas.
So they may not have any.
It's a call made by the commission when they reviewed the site plan.
And I have a question, Mr. President. When I vote, may I say something about that? I don't know if that's proper or not.
Yes, you may.
Oh, good.
If there's no further discussion, okay, we will take the vote and give you that opportunity to articulate your reasons for your vote. Ms. Deaver.
I do like the project, and I'll vote yes. I think it's an upgrade and for the property around and certainly for the whole neighborhood altogether. My only concern is that I would ask the Planning and Zoning Commission to designate some boat slips, some parking places for the boat slips. Happen to have a background in the marina business, and I do believe that you need parking for boat slips. I would vote for this project.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on the recommendation of planning and zoning. I used to know that Oak Orchard when it was Oak Orchard Beach. You don't find no beach there no more. Whatever happened to it, washed out with a storm, I think. But anyway, it's a good place. It's a good family place. I used to go down and stay when I was a kid, 65 years ago.
Wow.
So anyway, it's good to see improvements.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Cole?
I didn't know Sam was only 65.
That's when I was a kid, George.
Oh, okay. 28? No, I'll vote yes. It was an existing conditional use. I don't feel there's a sufficient parking, but testimony here today seemed to think there was, so I'll vote yes with the planning and zoning recommendation.
Mr. Benson.
I think it's a good project. It's going to certainly, I think, improve the area. Should help everybody's property value, I would think. I brought the issue up about the parking, I guess, for the marina, and but we don't have a requirement for that, but somebody probably should address at some point in time, maybe. But based on planning and zoning recommendation, the fact it's already conditional use there, it's going to, I think, expand that and be better. I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning, it's a very good project, good for the economy. Thank you very much for investing your time and money. Motion carried. Anything else for the council?
Congratulations.
Mr. Cole.
I got two things. We talked about the sewer capacity study. If we're going to, you know, have this thing keep surfacing all the time, we ought to direct planning and zoning, I mean, the engineering department to look into it. So I'd like to be placed on the agenda here in the next couple weeks. Mike Izzo, and a little conversation about that and see where we go with that. So if that could get done, I'd like to see that done. So if somebody, there's nobody down there taking notes. Robin, you can take a note on that one. Thank you.
She's got his heart. She can go take a note.
And then here's just a, for informational purposes, which I thought was very interesting. I just ran across a situation where I got a notification for a conditional use permit in another jurisdiction. And in my conversation with the people, I found it interesting that they typically issue these conditional uses because they're permits for a year. Now, I thought that maybe was a little extreme, but they do that, and then they have some kind of way that, you know, just like it's a test period to see if this conditional use is compatible with the surrounding areas, because typically we will take a conditional use, which is a quasi commercial application, and it's placed in a, say, a residential district. So they have found that the in the conversation I had with this planning and zoning individual, they said they have a short-term period, find out if there's any complaints, see how compatible it is, and then it gets extended after that. So it's we need to keep in mind that a conditional use permit is exactly that. It's a permit, and that we ought to maybe think about that a little bit, because they are not permitted where we are typically approving them. And then if we get an activity, and they can also goes with the land. So even though we have an applicant in front of us that we know is going to be a good applicant, run a good operation, it's the future that we need to be, I think, concerned about in protecting some of these communities and neighborhoods and areas that things. So I don't know if you've got any insight on it.
Well, I would just say, because I've dealt with that in some of the municipalities, and you know, it probably works for a smaller geographic area.
Well, this was a municipality.
Yeah, you know, because the problem is, you know, council or planning and zoning or somebody is going to get their agendas clogged up with reviewing
our agenda.
You know, I mean, it's a real problem. And I'll tell you, it's hard for, on the flip side of your concerns, it's hard for neighbors to plan as well, because you're almost forced to go back to your, you know, county council, planning and zoning, and saying, when's this one up for review? Are they still in good standing? And it almost pits neighbors against neighbors sometimes about, you know, whether use is ongoing or what's their plans, or you come in every year and object to it because you want to do something different with your property. You know,
but I do have a concern, and it just kind of made something go off earlier, where we have these permits and they're just open-ended.
Yeah.
And a permit, by the nature of it, should not be open-ended.
I don't know about that, George. As long as they're following the tenets of the permit and following the conditions and they're in good standing, I would be concerned about financing if a bank is looking at an applicant and they've only got this 1, 2, even 5 year permit.
Well, that could be an issue, right?
Yeah. So, all right, anything else, council?
Nope.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
You got it.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye. Orange, you want these?
Sam, tell your wife those